Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our buddy Jerry Hinnan is back on the bench, and I said earlier all kinds of glorious things about him. He's one of my favorite people because he loves college football, college basketball, and he loves soccer, and all of those things are the reason why he's been on my show forever. He's back on the bench tonight to talk about a number of things. Jerry, how you been, buddy?
I have been phenomenal, Scott. I am beyond thrilled to be back on the show. There's a few things we could talk about, I feel like.
Yeah.
One or two.
Let's start with, and I want to get into some games later, so let's start with this mess down in Oxford. Did you ever think you'd see the day that, now I knew they were in big trouble, but did you ever see the day that it would be his undoing that they busted him calling hookers?
No, not really. It almost seems too cliche that, like, you've got the really kind of churchy, you know, God, you know, all about the Bible verses on the Twitter feed coach being brought down because of a scandal like this. It's really out of something like, you know, what was the ESPN show, Playmakers? Like, it's like something off of some TV drama,
right,
where you set up the character to have this kind of sanctimonious fall later.
So do you know, hold on a second.
That a week ago, I say, no, it's too cliche.
Right.
Like, that can't really happen.
Do you know, let me just stop you. The guy that I compared it to last night was Jim Baker when he got brought down by that Jessica Hahn. Do you remember when the guy was like the religious television evangelist, preacher begging for money from everybody, and he built like a college campus and Jerry Falwell and all those people? Do you remember Baker when he got busted with the hooker? Like, this is what it reminds me of. Like, it's just crazy. And now the fallout is just insane. Like, the guy was out the door, no golden parachute, no money, no severance, no buyout, no nothing. I mean, he's ruined.
It's bad news. Like, he will be back eventually because he's too good of an offensive mind to not become somebody's analyst to start with, to not become somebody's play caller eventually, but to become a head coach, and certainly a head coach in the kind of job he had where he's making $4 million a year, where he has the support of the boosters, of the administration. You know, at any other school with just about any other coach, if you're facing the kind of NCAA violations that Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss have been facing here for the last year, your ass would have been gone a long time ago. They stood behind him. They were behind him 100% up until, as far as we knew, the last 48 hours. That doesn't happen everywhere. Hugh Freeze is never going to be in a better situation than he was just in. I mean, again, he's a guy from this area, Memphis, Mississippi. These are his roots here. It really was the perfect, you know, match between the coach and the program, and that's why Ole Miss was kind of going to the mat for him and saying, no, like, we're backing this guy up. We don't think he had anything to do with these violations. He was in control of the program, this kind of stuff. And for it to all just come crumbling down, no, Hugh Freeze is never going to be on top of a pedestal like that ever again.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I got to tell you, first of all, I think he's going to lose a lawsuit. I think he's going to lose and have to write a check to Houston Nutt. I think the university's also going to have to write a big fat check to Houston Nutt. I believe Nutt has a very lively lawsuit against them that I believe he can win. I think they did. I mean, without a doubt, even here, we have followed this story from the jump, and this guy has been – they've been slamming this guy publicly for over a year and blaming him for everything. As far as I'm concerned, that guy's going to win lawsuits against both of them. I think the beginning of the end is just happening right now. I think, A, he got fired. B, his wife's going to leave him. see he's going to end up all that money he made, that $4 or $5 million a year, he's going to end up giving half of it to Houston Nutt.
Nutt is – it's an unbelievable story. Like, you know, Nutt gets tossed out of his Arkansas job, which leads to Bobby Petrino getting the Arkansas job and him getting tossed out of it for the motorcycle thing. And then, you know, Nutt lands at Ole Miss. It's this unbelievable sort of circle of, like, lies and deceit and FOIA requests and phone records. And it really is the sort of thing that, you know, people talk about SEC football being different on the field. I don't know if it's all that different on the field. SEC football off the field is different from the rest of college football off the field. This is the sort of tangled web that simply do not get woven across the rest of the country when it comes to college football. And I agree with you, you know, as far as Nutt's concerned, I think he's sitting pretty right now. And I don't know, you know, when he filed that lawsuit, if this was the end that he necessarily foresaw. But I don't think he's probably feeling too bad this evening.
You know, I heard from my contacts in this business that I talked to in college football about this guy that said that a lot of coaches think he's a phony, that he had this whole Bible thing going and he was selling that he was this born-again Christian and he was holier than thou and he was selling God to everybody. You know, and it's just unbelievable that the guy that tries to play like he's the most religious guy in the game is calling hookers. I mean, it's just, it's beyond laughable. I can't even begin. This is so juicy. I just think it's just fantastic. I don't think it tops Louisville, where they had stripper and porn star parties with drugs and booze, and everybody said they didn't know anything about it. They lied through their teeth, and all these kids were getting laid. I thought that was way better than this. But this is right up the alley, same street.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about the coaches calling him phony, Dan Mullen kind of hinted at that a few years ago. It wasn't long after Freeze had been hired, and there's a little bit of a kind of, you know, who is more holier than the other, and Mullen kind of hinted that maybe there, you know, Freeze had a little bit of a facade up. And, of course, the Rebel fans went nuts. They're saying Mullen's accusing, you know, Freeze, attacking him over his religion and this kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's certainly not a new idea. And I think anytime you've got somebody who puts on this intense affront of, you know, their religiousness, you know there are going to be people who kind of want to see them brought down as far as, you know, from the sanctimony angle. And then you add in the football success. And, you know, again, Freeze really was on a pedestal in many ways. You know, people are going to want to kind of bump that pedestal out from under him. And for it to actually play out this way, as you say, it really is just mind-blowing. I can't believe this is actual real life where we're talking about this. And Hugh Freeze, you know, the coach at Ole Miss, $4 million a year, being ruined over these particular phone records. The pattern of misconduct, as his own athletic director described it, is really just unbelievable.
Now, let me ask you this. Jerry Hinnan with us on the bench, our college football insider and soccer guru. Let me ask you. So last night I was reading that he got to, before this all went down, they let him actually slaughter some of the phone calls he had made on his phone records. So in other words, he got to go through some of the phone records and delete some of the calls. In what world are we living in that someone allowed him to do that when he's a public servant working as a coach for a university in the state of Mississippi where it's an open record law and that everyone that is a public servant, you know everything that they do, allegedly. This is as bad as politicians. Did you hear about him being able to, like, scrap some of these calls before he had to turn over his phone records? Like, what kind of BS was that?
Well, this is his argument, is that he misdialed, and that, you know, this
lying.
Is what Freeze is saying, is that if this number was really such a big deal, then he would have redacted it from these records, that if he had anything to hide, well, he wouldn't have hidden it because he could have with this sort of stuff. I have no idea about the laws and the regulations. I agree. It strikes me as extremely dubious that, yes, if you are using your state phone and you are subject to public records requests, that you're able to just sort of pick and choose which of those records get turned over in a court of law, basically. But again, this is Freeze's defense, is that he's saying, no, I didn't just mess up and accidentally not expose this record, which it wasn't like just that one. Like Ole Miss is, what happened was Ole Miss got hold of those records because of the lawsuit, and then right. their administration like went through the rest of the records and found out, oh, like, again, it's not just this one accidental dial, supposedly. This is a pattern
right.
That we have found in the phone records. So, yeah,
he's a liar.
I'm not sure whether he's allowed to do that, but it didn't help him.
He's a liar. He's lying through his teeth, and that's why he's gone with no money, because they said, we got you busted cold, and you're out of here, so you're going to resign, and you're going to tell everyone that you're stepping away, which is a big facade. The whole thing's an act. He's a liar. He's busted. His wife's going to turn on him. She's not going to sleep with him ever again. That's inevitable. Let me ask you this question. And then what we're going to do is we're going to break and we're going to come back, because I want to talk to him about some big games. Is that possible? Yeah. Do I have that kind of schedule? All right, here we go. So is Brent Venables the guy that you feel would be the perfect hire for? I've heard all this Lane Kiffin I can take. He just committed to this school in Boca. If he shafts those people, he might as well put a big X on his head and say, kill me.
I would love to see Brent Venables if I'm Ole Miss. That guy's got to be at the top of the list. If, you know, I can't imagine why you would want to hire somebody who has not been the best defensive coordinator in the country the last couple of years. He's got familiarity with people who might be able to run a similar style offense. You know, what Clemson's been running the last couple of years, what Ole Miss has been running the last couple of years, very similar, kind of spread you out, throw the ball, run up the middle, you know, when they're not expecting kind of offenses. I think Venables would be able to hire a great staff. I have been talking this guy up for so long. I don't know how we've gone through, you know, he took Clemson to the playoffs a couple of years ago after they'd lost a bunch of NFL talent. They won the national championship last year with one of the best defenses in the country after they lost even more NFL talent. He's been the best defensive coordinator in college football the last couple of seasons. I don't know why he is still a defensive coordinator, and if Ole Miss gets him, they're going to be extremely lucky.
Yeah, and let me say this. I heard today that Bobby Petrino's name's in the mix. Here's for me saying he shouldn't be allowed to leave Louisville. It should be a law, a state law, where if he were to leave Louisville for another job, he would have to serve 10 years in prison for leaving Louisville. That guy's another one I don't trust as far as I could spit. I don't care. Good evening, Louisville. I hope you're listening. He's another one. He's a good coach. He needs to stay there after all of his crimes and misdemeanors. And that's all I have to say about that. We'll come back with Jerry and talk about two things. All the good college football games coming up that we're going to bet heavily on when we go to Vegas. And then we'll talk about the Gold Cup semis, right? It's the semis. And then I did want to say one thing real quick, Mafia, about Vegas. We're going to be there August 28th for the whole week at the D Casino Hotel on Fremont Street. Five shows, August 28th through September 1st. We're even going to stay on September 2nd to watch football all day and take the red eye back to New York that night at midnight. So we're there for the fantasy draft on the 26th and 27th, the same weekend of the Mayweather fight. 35 ahead to get in. Luxury private suite for up to 14 people. You get a draft kit, multiple flat screen TVs, cocktail service, first cocktail free, food catered by Gold Spike American, Coney Island, and Nacho Daddy. To get in on it, you got to call the D sales department at 702-388-2200. That's 702-388-2200. Or sales at the D.com. Remember, View Bar, second floor, every night, August 28th through September 1st, five live shows, Pharrell, Carver, High Drinking Heavily. It's going to be unbelievable in Sin City. Plus, we're going to be there for the 24th and 25th broadcasting from the MGM for Mayweather-McGregor. Bottom line, we're kick-ass. We're like godlike. We're going to be in Vegas for like 10 days. We're like pimps. So, just Jerry Hennin's with us. We're talking college football and a little Gold Cup. So, let me throw this out there. Saturday, Costa Rica and the U.S., and Sunday, Jamaica and Mexico. Tell me what you think of those games.
I think the U.S. had better win this freaking game. You know, Bruce Arena has said basically by bringing in the ringers, basically, his first-line guys that happen to play in MLS. He hasn't brought in guys from Europe. Christian Pulisic isn't here. But he's got Michael Bradley in now. He's got Josie Altidore in now. He's got Tim Howard in now. After those guys, Mr. Drew Sage, what he is saying is, we want to win this tournament. And if he does not win this tournament, after basically saying, we're not going to worry about trying to develop guys for the World Cup, we are here to win this thing right now, then that's not going to be so great. It's not going to change his employment status or anything, not in the middle of World Cup qualification, but it's not going to look so great. So they better win this game. I think they're going to. This is still a tournament that's being held on U.S. soil. They are still the home team. I think they're going to be ready to kind of, you know, mess around with some of these lesser. You know, Martinique, they were awful. They were not good against El Salvador the other night. But Arena was kind of messing around with his lineup. I think, you know, he brought in Matt Hedges, an MLS defender, who looked completely out of his depth. I don't think he's going to play on Saturday. I think you're going to see Bradley and Kellen Acosta, a guy from FC Dallas in MLS, who's a really, really good young player. Hasn't looked great so far this tournament, but I think you stick him next to Bradley. They're going to control the midfield, and I really think the U.S. is going to win that game. I think it'll be close. Costa Rica is a good team, 1-0, maybe 2-1, something like that. But I think Altidore is due for a goal. I think playing, you know, again, in their home country, that's a game that they better win, and I think they're going to.
So who do you like in Jamaica, Mexico?
Right. I've watched that Jamaica team a little bit. Like, their game against El Salvador is one of the worst games I may have ever seen. you know, they're a really fast team. They've got a guy named Darren Maddox, plays up front. They will kick 1,000 long balls to this guy and just let him chase him. And he does a terrific job of chasing him. But you can't beat a team like Mexico playing like that. Mexico is missing a lot of their stars, too, in kind of a similar way that the U.S. did. They didn't bring in the ringers, though, for the knockout stages. So I think, you know, U.S. is the favorite in this tournament. I think it's going to be U.S. and Mexico. I think the U.S. is going to just take it. Barely, again, due to the tournament being played in the U.S., but Jamaica is not going to be the team to beat Mexico. Most of their guys are, like, domestically based. They play in the Jamaican League, which, you know, I'm going to shock you here, Scott, but that's not really the strongest level of competition, playing in the Jamaican League for Montego Bay. You know, I think Mexico is going to handle them pretty easy. And it should set up a great final. Like, I mean, U.S. and Mexico, whenever they play, however they play, it's a big deal. An actual tournament final, I think, is going to be an awful lot of fun.
Is anything going to happen to the guy that from El Salvador that was biting Altidore the other night?
Supposedly, the, you know, CONCACAF disciplinary hoo-ha administrators, whatever you want to call them, committee, you know, who knows if this committee even actually exists. But supposedly, they're reviewing, you know, the footage. There's a picture of Omar Gonzalez's back on Twitter where you can see the bite marks. It's like a ring. It looked like a shark had gotten him. But, you know, it's unbelievable. And under any other federation, I would say, oh, well, these guys are going to be banned for, like, you know, months. They're going to miss 5 or 6 games, which is a big... You know, it's a long time in international soccer. You don't play that many games. But it's CONCACAF. Who knows? They'll probably get off with missing half of one game. You know, this is the federation where, you know, nobody has – they're going to roll a 20-sided die, and whatever, you know, comes up, they're going to accord the punishment of, you know, based off of that. No one knows. They ought to, you know, not play again for a year. But I have no idea what's going to happen.
All right, so I got these games that I have in front of me. The first one I want to ask you about is Alabama and Florida State. What a game to kick off the season. Who do you like in that game?
I can't believe we get this game. Like, in the very first week of the season, it's a college football playoff caliber game to kick off. And really, it would not be a shock if these two teams play each other again for all the marbles at the end of the year. I like Alabama, though. I think you've got the entire offseason for Nick Saban to get ready, and it's a cliche by this point, but the guy has done it over and over again. We saw them play USC to start last season and absolutely obliterate them. A few years ago, it was Michigan. You know, it was Clemson way back in the day after, what was it, 2009, I think, when Saban was really starting to get things going. You give him the entire offseason, he's going to be ready. And, you know, I don't want to – it sounds ridiculous to say Alabama, the consensus number one, maybe even unanimous preseason number one team, is a little bit underrated. But I feel like people aren't giving Jalen Hurts enough respect, maybe aren't giving that offense enough respect. What he did as a true freshman last year was phenomenal. Everybody remembers him being kind of scattershot at the end of the season in that Clemson game. He was a true freshman. Like, he's got so many weapons at his disposal. He's got Bo Scarborough. He's got Calvin Ridley. That offense, unless their new offense coordinator, the guy they got from the Patriots, Brian Daboll, unless he's an idiot, which I don't think Nick Saban hires idiots, that offense is going to be ridiculous. Florida State's offensive line had issues last year. I love their skill guys, too. Francois, the quarterback, they got a freshman running back, Cam Akers, who I think is going to be phenomenal. But their offensive line was not up to defending against Alabama, keeping Alabama out of your backfield standards last year, especially in week one. I don't see it happening for the Seminoles. I think it's going to be competitive for three quarters, maybe even three and a half. But in week one, neutral site, yeah, I'm going to take Alabama.
There you go. Jerry, great stuff tonight on all fronts. Talking bad about Hugh Freeze was fun. Talking Gold Cup was great. And then a little college football. I'm going to do more college football betting throughout the show tonight on a Pain-Free Friday. Jerry, great having you on the bench. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely, Scott. Our college football season is going to be here before we know it. I would like to talk to you again at some point about that. I think we should.
You can count on that. Jerry, my man, thanks again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.